This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Larry Allen. Larry is the CEO of Allen Federal. Larry, welcome back.
Mark, it's great to be here.
Man, there's a lot of stuff going on, and
yes, there is.
Let's just step right in it.
Well, we've been known to do that.
So. Just a few times. Let's start off with your newsletter. Congress, you led off with Congress closer to passing the remaining appropriations. We're recording this Thursday before the weekend, and it airs Monday. I don't know about you, but do you really think they're going to do it?
Pass the appropriations bills? Well, at this hearing, Mark, I think that we are really somewhat closer to the specter of a government shutdown than I think any of us would have thought possible. Even a few days ago, and it really points to troubling issues. I mean, none of the current rhetoric surrounding Capitol Hill's problems with the bills have to do actually with the appropriations themselves. That's largely set. The stumbling blocks are over non-appropriations related issues, things like extending the payroll tax cut and how you're going to pay for it. Will they pass it? Well, I certainly would hope they would. I think this would be a tremendous opportunity to pass appropriations bills, not on time per se, but certainly much earlier than recent history has indicated that Congress will do. So I hope that they can put aside their differences, but I'm not at this point optimistic. I think that we're going to be in for another short-term CR that'll take us through the weekend and into the week before Christmas, and that hopefully right before Christmas Eve comes around, we'll finally get something done.
All right. How does this? I was going to go into the procurement thing. We're going to get there sooner or later anyway. Item two in your newsletter was the protest part. This is hot for you?
It is. It's an interesting issue, Mark, because it's not the first time I've written about protests in my newsletter. But every time I do put an article in the newsletter, someone always comes up to me and says, hey, you know, did you think about this particular nuance to protesting? So there are a lot of layers here. We know that during the past fiscal year, protests were way up, which is not surprising given the relative tightness of the government market. People tend to protest larger opportunities when there are fewer larger opportunities to go around. That said, there are still a surprising number of companies who have a no-protest policy in place. Some of those companies that used to have those policies now are having them second thought because they realize they're going to be losing out on things. However, some companies still don't protest. And my earlier point that I made in earlier this year in the newsletter, Mark, was that, hey, if you don't protest, that sends a signal to people who review your offer sometimes that they may not have to take your offer as seriously as they do somebody who might protest if they don't get a full hearing. This week I talked about the impression that a no-protest policy leaves on potential company partners. So if you're seeking to be a team member or a subcontractor with another company or other companies, and those companies see that you won't stand up for yourself when you have a legitimate interest to protect, they're going to look at that as an evaluation factor when they consider whether they want to team with you. If you're not going to stand up for yourself and protect your own legitimate interests, how relied upon can you be to stand up for the team's interests if the team runs into a snag? All that really indicates, again, Mark, is that, look, you don't want to be haphazard in your protest activity, and you don't want to wear out your welcome at the GAO. However, timely well strategically placed protests can be an important part of your overall government strategy. It shows people that you have some skin in the game. It shows people that you're going to stand up for yourself. And who are you showing? Well, you're not just showing the people in the government, and it's important to know that so that they will actually evaluate your offers, but you're showing your teammates as well, your potential teammates down the road, that you can be relied upon to stand up for yourself when the going gets tough.
Okay. Was there a decent rationale for companies taking a no-protest policy?
Well, the largest one, Mark, is that people don't want to risk upsetting a potential customer. You know, if they've got an opportunity with a specific agency that they lose out on. In the past, they've been inclined to not protest that one for risk poisoning the well for the next opportunity that comes down the pike. The issue now is there are fewer next opportunities that are coming down the pike, particularly right. large dollar ones. So you have to stand up for yourself, you have to protect yourself, and you have to make sure that everybody sees that you're a viable player in this market.
Okay. The third item in your newsletter had to do with cuts in the armed services, particularly the Army.
Right. And the one this week we talked about in the newsletter was the Army coming up to announce 8,500 job cuts from its civilian sector. And those cuts are going to come in areas like the Installation Management Command, the Army Materiel Command, and the Training and Doctrine Command. Mark, this is just the latest in a series of federal position cuts that we have seen either announced this year or planned for either this year or next year. There are literally, I think, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of federal jobs that various agencies are proposing to trim. The Army's one is certainly just the latest in that list, but it won't be the last. And if you're a government contractor, you need to increasingly pay attention to this trend. I think that the cuts in federal employees is something that is going to be felt acutely over the remainder of the fiscal year 2012. Because there are simply going to be fewer federal fannies in seats for contractors to support. Now, if you're a service contractor and you're lucky enough to be bought in through the side door to work on a project that is a must-do project for an agency, you'll be okay. But if you're selling things like furniture, toner cartridges, pens, desks, desktop computers, things of that nature, the simple fact of the matter is there are going to be fewer people for you to sell those to and support. I know that the major procuring agencies like GSA already have this employee trend on their radar screen, and GSA, for at least one agency, is cranking in the number of employee reductions to their own business plans moving forward. If you're a contractor and you haven't done that, I think the time to do that is now.
Okay. The frightening scenario.
It is a frightening scenario. And, you know, contractors can control certain things. They can do government relations. They can talk to members of on the Congress. They can talk to federal appropriators. They can talk to the regulators. They can have really good relationships with buyers at the federal level. So you can do a lot of things as a contractor to get yourself in a good position to do business. But if there's a decision made to just have fewer people in the government, that's not something that you have a great ability to affect.
Okay. We're going to take our first break there. This is, you're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio. My guest today is Larry Allen of Allen Federal. You can find Larry at Allen, A-L-L-E-N, federal.com, all one word, allenfederal.com. Sign up for the newsletter. It's a great way to start your week. It comes out on Monday. We'll be back after the break.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include two tickets to three exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, two Caps hats, and two passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to WashingtonCaps.com/holiday.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum. But there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico. So no matter if you're blue or red or in my case green. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, contact Geico and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
This holiday season, give the gift that money can't buy. When you donate blood with the American Red Cross, you give the perfect gift. Another hug, another laugh, another smile, another chance to someone in need of blood. And unlike the latest fashion trend, video game, or golf club, the perfect gift costs nothing but an hour of your time. Visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to schedule an appointment today. Give the gift of life and help unwrap a lifetime of memories for patients in need.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Larry Allen, CEO of Allen Federal. You can find Larry at Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Federal.com. Sign up for the newsletter. We talked about that in the first segment. Larry, we left off with a couple of thoughts about GSA. Let's talk about the most visible part of GSA, the GSA schedules. You were talking about probably a reduction in purchasing pure commodity type things because of what seems to be a serious coming reduction in federal force.
That's right, and it's something if you talk to the GSA leadership about. They have planned for these types of reductions for several months now, and they factored some of the cuts into their own business forecasts. So they know they're going to have a challenge at GSA in terms of maintaining the schedule's foothold. That said, overall, GSA, at least the Federal Acquisition Services business overall, was up by a point and a half to 2 points in fiscal year 2011. That's the Federal Acquisition Service writ large. However, a large part of that's the schedules program, and there's no way that the overall FAST numbers wouldn't have been up if the schedules hadn't gone up. But inside that, Mark, you have to look and see what's going up inside that program. Well, it's not the IT schedule. The IT schedule has actually seen slightly declining sales for a number of reasons. We can talk about that in a minute if you want. The things that are growing are professional services, whether it's management and business improvement services, whether it's logistics services, particularly logistics services, professional engineering services. Those are the growth areas inside the schedules program. Now, you had a good year with that this year. In fact, those schedules that I just mentioned have been responsible for overall schedules growth for the last few years. At the same time, as I mentioned in the last segment, we now have a federal government where it's going to have fewer people requiring some of the services that you're providing. So I think it's going to be a real challenge for GSA and its contractors on how it's going to continue to capture business and grow its business in an overall shrinking market. I think that there is a strong value proposition for GSA's programs when they go in and talk with people in other agencies about being able to reduce their own agency overhead by using GSA's offerings. I know that FAST Commissioner Steve Kempf is out regularly telling that message, and that's a good thing. I think that's exactly what needs to be done, and I think Commissioner Kempf is a strong advocate and a very good person to be evangelizing on that front. But you know, if you're a contractor, you need to understand what GSA is doing, and if you haven't talked to them about what their business plans are, maybe better, so that you understand what the contracting agency that is doing you're doing business with is up against as well.
Okay. You mentioned the decline. I want to pursue that, but I want to go back to the other point, the decline of 70.
Yes.
The IT schedule in particular. What's the story behind this?
Well, I think there are multiple stories. On the one hand, there are certainly a number of competing vehicles with the schedules program, whether it's the relatively small number of GWACs, government-wide acquisition contracts, that we have now, or the ever-proliferating amount of smaller multiple award contracts in specific agencies. So part one of the story, Mark, is we just have increasing competition in the IT arena, many more vehicles, a lot of people who are convinced in different agencies that they can do it better than each other, not just necessarily better than GSA. The second part of the equation is that up until the last really 6 or 7 weeks, the IT schedules have been relatively rudderless. They didn't have senior leadership at the senior executive service level that was in there on a daily basis, making sure that there was continuity to that schedule, that line-level contracting officers understood that senior management would support them when they made smart business decisions. The result was a lot of contracting officers didn't want to make any decisions, smart or otherwise. Recently, in the last 7 or 8 weeks, GSA has remedied that situation by bringing in Kay Ely, who's an experienced federal procurement veteran, had worked at the Department of Veterans Affairs, where I first met her, came to GSA directly, I believe, from the Department of Commerce. Very smart, very capable individual, but Kay has a big project on her plate. She has to do something inside the IT schedule, Mark, that's very difficult to do, and it's not just improving processes, it's improving morale, and that's kind of the number one issue that's confronting the IT schedule now, is how do you take a diverse workplace located in the Washington suburbs, in Atlanta, in Kansas, and Fort Worth, Texas, and make sure that they work as a cohesive unit who understand that their work is valued and that their smart business decisions will be supported. Now, the fact that we have to have these discussions inside Schedule 70 should be an outward indication of just how far down the program went and where we have to start to bring it back up.
Okay. Is any of the Schedule 70 issue the fact that there are literally so many different kinds of IT on the schedule?
Well, I think that's certainly part of it. There are a number of types of IT, Mark, but I think even larger than that, because there are many types of IT, there are thousands of companies. The IT schedule in terms of revenue and in terms of the number of contractors is by far larger than any other schedule. And in
fact, it's about half.
It's about half of the program, and in fact, larger than the number of contractors on that schedule, or can probably be larger than the number of contractors on the next two or three largest schedules combined.
I think last time I looked, it was roughly half of the contractors, period.
Right. And, you know, some of those companies are very seasoned federal veterans that do good business on the schedule. Some are ones that don't do any business. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I think that GSA should continue to move off the program, frankly.
They've gotten more aggressive about that over the last few years.
If you're not doing business through the program, you only have a limited number of resources. You ought to be supporting the companies that are actually doing business through your program. However, that even within that, Mark, there are a number of companies that come in somewhere between $100,000 and $1 million a year worth of business. And how do you support them? And you know, what level of attention do they get? I mean, that's decent business, but you know, you still have Dell rocking around with between $800 million and $1 billion a year.
Right.
And
we'll see how that shakes out in 12.
You've got to give them some love, too.
Yeah.
So, right.
Oh, that isn't that why they have that Fort Worth office? They're going to move over to Austin.
Right. Right. Just down I-35 a little bit.
Okay. Anything? Well, the people at GSA are looking at other schedules to do the strategic sourcing for. Let's review strategic sourcing a bit.
Strategic sourcing is nothing that's new, Mark. It's an old concept, but it's one that, as you indicated, has had a fairly significant amount of new life breathed into it over the last 2 to 3 years. It started, and basically, strategic sourcing is taking a look at the number of suppliers you have now, winnowing it down, getting a number of federal agencies on board to say, all right, if you put a solution together for, let's say, office supplies, and you promise federal agencies that you're going to buy your office supplies from this strategic sourcing contract, then we as GSA can go back to the companies and say, give us better pricing based on guaranteed volume or guaranteed estimated volume. And GSA takes the entire group of scheduled contract holders for office supplies and winnows them down to maybe 13 or 15 awards. And those are the companies that you can buy office supplies from. You still have other companies with office supplies, but as a federal agency that signed up to support that program, you are obliged to meet your office supply needs first through those strategic sourcing contracts. And in fact, I picked office supplies, obviously, not just to illustrate the point, but because that was the first one that's been tried.
Right.
And it's been up and running for close to 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on who you are, you either think it's a great program or you don't. There's very little middle ground.
Well, I can think of about 475 companies that don't think it's such a good idea.
Well, that's exactly right. And even some of the companies that are on the FSSI kind of wonder what it is that they won. Nevertheless, GSA is moving forward. We recently saw them just in the past 90 days put in place a managed print services federal strategic sourcing initiative. There's been an announcement, so that is aimed at reducing the number of printers and multifunction devices and copiers in the government. Here's a little what's in it for me. If you're reducing the number of those machines, you're also reducing the amount of services and supplies that go in to support those machines. So, for example, if your federal business has been hinged on selling lots of toner cartridges, you might want to have something else to sell to the government, because there are going to be fewer toner cartridges to sell to the government moving forward. So
we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back to strategic sourcing. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Saturday, January 7th versus Colgate at 2 p.m.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The EPA has announced five winners for its Apps for the Environment Challenge. The agency designed the contest to help promote the creation of mobile apps that make innovative uses of EPA's own data. The top overall app the agency selected is a light bulb finder that lets mobile users weigh their lighting needs against financial considerations and the environmental impact of their choices. EPA also selected winners in categories created by students, and a winner for the most popular app as chosen by users.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
Fuel cell vehicles promise energy efficiency and less pollution, but the focus has been on using hydrogen as the fuel, and so far there aren't many places to fill up. So why not use gasoline to power fuel cells? Because until now, that's only worked under very high temperatures. But Eric Walksman, University of Maryland engineer, has increased the performance of so-called solid oxide fuel cells to bring the temperature way down, and
that opens them up to running off of gasoline or diesel today, or biofuels in the near term, or hydrogen in the future.
He says the cells, which turn gasoline's chemical energy into electricity without burning, could provide backup power for electric vehicles and replace the internal combustion engine.
It'll still run off the gasoline that you can get at any street corner, but now it'll go three times farther and consume one-third the amount of gasoline and produce one-third the amount of CO2 and produce no emissions.
With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Larry Allen. Larry is the president, CEO, minor deity, if you will, at Allen Federal. If you do not read Larry's weekly newsletter to start your week, you really should. You can find it at Allen, A-L-L-E-N, federal.com, and it's called The Week Ahead. It's a short read. It's an excellent read. It'll start your brain working the right way for that week. So back to strategic sourcing. We have some other things perhaps queued up here. So what's coming?
Well, there are three things that are next up in line for strategic sourcing, Mark. One is the existing software Smart Buy program. GSA is rebranding the Smart Buy program as a strategic sourcing initiative, and I think the idea there is not just to give it a new name, but to broaden it out and see if they can attract more people to it. Keeping in the IT-related area, cell phones and multifunction smartphone devices are going to be another area, are another area that GSA is looking at.
So the mobile?
Mobile phone.
Okay.
Right. And then third, there's an IT commodities initiative that's going to be run out of Atlanta that looks to, I think, kind of really fundamentally changed the way that government buys IT back to the way that IT was bought in 1990. Today, government IT is bought as a service or a solution in almost every case, and yet this IT commodity initiative would take us back to the day of buying desktops and laptops individually and not part of any integrated solution necessarily. So
well, I remember the catalogers had a heyday with the credit cards back, you know, 92 to 96 thereabouts.
That's exactly right. And you just really don't see that so much anymore. Yet GSA is going to try it with the IT commodity strategic sourcing initiative. So we'll have to see, watch that space. In the meantime, you look at companies that supply IT as a commodity, mm-hmm. and you know, once strong companies that used to dominate the IT market now are kind of having difficulty reinventing themselves.
GTSI in particular.
GTSI comes immediately to mind.
And they've had a number of issues this past year. You can argue either way. I argue the case that the ANC program was set up with a huge neon sign on top that said "abuse me."
Well, certainly. I think it was. I mean, you know, unlimited amounts of contract awards with no competition. I think that it invited people's worst selves to come out.
Right, but you know, maybe gray area at best in the moral arena, but not necessarily illegal.
No, not at all. Not at all illegal. Congress set up the Alaska Native program to do certain things to benefit Alaska Native corporations.
And to give Ted Stevens a new porch.
Exactly right. And all of which worked out really well for a long period of time. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's like a tool. I mean, I don't know how good you are with the electric drill, Mark, but nobody in my family would allow me to own an electric drill.
My daughter gets afraid when I use a screwdriver.
It doesn't necessarily mean that an electric drill is a bad thing to have. Just in the wrong hands, it can cause mayhem. So too the case with Alaska Native contracting. You know, it's a tool like anything else, but if it's not used wisely, then it can cause lots of problems, and that's what happened to, among others, GTSI.
Or the perception
of problems. And that's what happened with GTSI. Just the latest in a string of challenges that company has had in trying to reinvent itself over the past 7 or 8 years now from a kind of catalog-based commodity supply company into one that supplies services and solutions. Phenomenal amount of personnel turnover. You and I both know from our experiences, Mark, it's tough to move forward when you're constantly churning through people. And I think that kind of hampers the company's ability to reinvent itself. And I think that, you know, you're seeing them bear the fruit. And now they're trying to do this even in the midst of a shrinking IT market. and one where the fundamentals have changed. So I think they've got some real challenges ahead.
Huge challenges. My sources tell me that employee-wise, they're roughly half the size they were a year ago. And WashTec had the dismissal of the HR person. Well, that was sort of the tip of the iceberg. The you know, several of the marketing people are gone, but literally a couple hundred other people.
Smart contract management people who had been with them for a long time and really understood contracts. Those, along with experienced marketing hands, are people that don't grow on trees, not even in this area.
But I don't know what you know about CDW, but they seem relatively stable in the same basic arena, but they've always been perhaps the most efficient of the IT resellers.
CDW, when they came on the market, into the federal market several years ago, they did it in what I think is the right way. That means they jumped in with both feet, but they didn't just jump in without looking to see whether a train was coming along the tracks. They jumped in smartly, and they had continued to execute well and be very efficient. They've done well in terms of being able to have a number of contract vehicles, which gives them a lot of tentacles into customer agencies, and surprising number of ones they hold direct, Mark.
Yep.
And where they don't hold direct, they have partners who hold them, and they sell through those partners.
Right.
So, you know, it's a nice diversified market. They didn't come in all on one program, and they have continued to evolve as the federal market has required it.
Yeah, and you know, they purchased a couple of solution companies along the way. So they, you know, they have the integrator side when necessary, certainly not competing against, you know, the top 10 or so majors, but...
No, they don't. But in fact, you know, because they have those integrator companies that are now part of their larger umbrella, they have the capability to be on more vehicles than a straight commodity offerer would have, which, you know, gives you more storefronts to be in front of your customer.
Right. That leads me to what I think is really maybe one of the bigger stories of this past year and certainly recently, and that's the and I don't mean to segue from CDW and GTSI here, but we're going to fraud, waste, and abuse.
Right.
The perception from the Hill, from the press, from a number of communities, that the contractors are rife with evil intent.
And this has really been a defining issue in this market throughout fiscal 11. And really the seeds were sown for this, Mark, at least 3 or 4 years ago, dating all the way back to when Henry Waxman was the chairman of the House Government Oversight Committee, and started to set the tone that contractors were, as a group, were people to be distrusted. Something that we really hadn't seen in the federal marketplace since the late 80s and very early 1990s. And we're kind of back now to where we were, where contractors as a group aren't really considered to be partners so much anymore. They're in some cases necessary evils until you really need a contractor, in which case you really get one, but you know, you don't have the dignity to allow them to come in through the front door. You know, there are a couple of things you can talk about this. One is the Recovery and Transparency Board. There was that in the press lately because their chief, Mr. Devaney, is retiring from government service, and you know, he's done an admirable job.
The RAT Board?
The RAT Board.
Okay.
But you know, that in, you think about it, and the RAT Board really sends an external message that what? That contractors are rats. And I think
or the board's rats.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's just not really an effective message to send if you're trying to work in collaboration with people who, frankly, you can't go to war without a contractor. You can't deliver food stamps without a contractor. You can't deliver VA benefits or Social Security benefits without without a contractor. You can't keep your roads paved without a contractor. That's not really the message that you want to send to a group of people who you're relying upon. It doesn't mean that you don't manage them effectively. You do, and you should manage them effectively. But it also means that you understand that contractors as a group are trained professionals, just as you are trained professionals in the government, and you're entitled to the same, they're entitled to the same level of respect that you are.
We're going to come back to this issue after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Bob Casimir is the Director of Corporate Information for the Army Corps of Engineers. He says the Los Angeles District Office now has a better idea of how good its cybersecurity really is.
The U.S. Cyber Command, as part of the DISA team, select various circuits across the DoD and partners, announce that they will conduct an inspection, give us some time to prepare, and then come down for a full week of scanning, interviews, analysis, observations.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Hi, this is Carl Alsner of the Washington Capitals.
The green light for the linesman. Adam into the Washington zone. Coming down low, the shot, save made, that's it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Buffalo. The Capitals with a win in the shootout, 4-3 over the Sabres.
Catch every minute of Caps hockey right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
This holiday season, think about those who have given so much in the name of freedom. The Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund provides financial aid to American soldiers, sailors, and Marines who are recovering from severe wounds in service to our nation. Every dollar goes to military hospitals in the Washington, D.C. area. No overhead, no bureaucracy. Your donation provides immediate funds for the everyday needs of service members facing a long, hard recovery far from home. To donate or to get more information, please visit Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Previously on the Fed's telework panel discussion sponsored by HP and Intel, Nigel Ballard, the director of federal marketing at Intel, discussed.
HP and Intel had spent a lot of time and money doing research into the federal market, trying to work out why it lagged behind the private sector. But the private sector had slowed down its purchase of desktop and increased its purchase of notebook computers because they were embracing mobility, and the federal government wasn't doing that.
Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework in the federal government at fedstelework.com. Read more on telework resources and get connected with Feds Telework on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you missed the Feds Telework panel discussion on Federal News Radio, you can listen on demand at fedstelework.com on the issues directly affecting federal employees and the way they do business. Learn about the future of telework at fedstelework.com. Fedstelework.com.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Hamtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Hamtower. My guest today is Larry Allen. Larry is the president of Allen Federal. You can find him at allenfederal.com, A-L-L-E-N, federal.com, all one word. Larry, I want to touch on one thing for the fraud, waste, abuse, the perception, especially through the press and especially through the Washington Post. Robert O'Hara, over the last 3 or 4 years, has written 3 or 4, quote, exposés that have had tremendous amount of innuendo and very little substance. And I really think that this exacerbates this kind of discussion when it comes to contractors and the perception in the general public that, you know, hi, you know, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a government contractor. Ooh, evil, evil. You know, you pull out the cross, you know, you get garlic. Yeah. But you know, that really pisses me off.
It should. I mean, because you're highlighting the few bad examples in a realm of companies that are overwhelmingly responsible corporate citizens and have inside their corporations responsible personal citizens, most of whom are trying to do a decent job and most of whom are just trying to make sure that they are performing credibly and supporting their families. And you, if you look hard enough at anything, probably even the publishing industry, you'll always find people who are trying to get by with something and get away with something that they shouldn't be getting away with.
Sloppy reporting.
Right. And that becomes the poster child of the perception that everybody has. The public face is now that all contractors are out to have Gucci loafers, buy yachts, and retire at 45. And would that, you know, I went to the wrong business if that was what was intended.
We ain't there yet.
No. No. But, you know, the perception is not the reality in this case, Mark. And I think you and I know that. I think some of the people who are in this business on a daily basis understand that. We just need to do a better job of making sure that the good news stories get told, and there are plenty of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, and the other part of this issue, you take a program like the credit card program. David Shea was on a few weeks ago. Wonderful guy, wonderful program. I've been, you know, we've both been fans since day one. But the only time it gets pressed out of my once a year interview with David is when one person does something wrong. So,
and then Congress wants to shut the program down.
Right. Well, so, what are they doing with credit cards anyway?
Right.
Saving the government money. And that's what happens.
That's it.
So the fraud, waste, abuse, you know, we're emerging into a contractual situation where everything's being funneled into firm, fixed, LPTA. What's going on?
Well, that's right. And one of the big things that we're seeing this year is, particularly in DOD, the move away from best value. If best value was ever a watchword in government procurement, it pretty much no longer is. And that's particularly true in the Department of Defense, that has gone to low price, technically acceptable. And it's easy to talk about that in good, sensible tones when you're sitting comfortably in the Pentagon. But in reality, Mark, down at the line level, all they hear at the line level is the LP, the low price part of that message. And that's getting translated down into, we must buy the low priced item or service. And in some cases, the government should get the stuff that's lowest priced. But, you know, in our own lives, not all of us go out and buy the absolute cheapest thing we can find, because we understand that there's an inherent benefit to having things of quality. There is an inherent benefit if you're having somebody come to install your home theater system, of having somebody who has been doing it for 10 or 12 years and didn't just pick up the user's manual yesterday and that person with the experience is going to cost more. But guess what? You're going to end up with a lot fewer holes in your wall.
Right.
And so it is in government contracting. Firm fixed price is another manifestation of this, where you're trying, the government's trying to put more and more projects in a firm fixed price manner. Ideally, great solution. But even the cooler heads inside government contracting, Mark, in the government itself, understand that not every government project lends itself to a firm fixed price solution. You can do firm fixed price for anything, but you're going to end up with an awfully high firm fixed price as contractors quite rightly plan in contingency costs for poorly defined statements of work or situations where they know the government didn't define its needs well, or where they're going to have to go into an environment where it will be more difficult to achieve the project outcomes than it would be if everything was being done in a nice suburban location. The government just doesn't work in the suburbs.
Right.
There are times for firm fixed price. There are times for low price technically acceptable. But neither one of those are going to get you where you want to go. And in fact, they can take you pretty quickly to places you don't want to be if you're not smart about how to use them. I've said before, and I'll say it again, there is no such thing as an inherently bad contracting method among the ones that are at the government's disposal today, whether it's firm fixed price, whether it's cost plus fixed fee, or even time and material labor hours. The issue is in how well you manage each of those outcomes.
Cool. I want you to pull out your crystal ball here, and let's talk about things that the contracting community needs to know about 2012 and beyond.
Well, we've already mentioned staff cuts, Mark, and I think that that's going to have a profound impact on government procurement in 2012 and 2013. Beyond that, the crystal ball gets a little cloudy. I do think, though, that there are reasons to be optimistic. If you're in the IT market, for example, the government is openly buying things like cloud computing. They have talked very seriously about buying lots of cybersecurity, and there are a lot of things that fall under that umbrella. If you're in biodefense or things that are related to biodefense, those are going to be good, viable areas. So we've talked about the downside. Let's leave on an up note. In 2012 and beyond, the government will be open for business, and it will still be a viable business partner. We saw in the appropriations that were already passed a couple of weeks ago, some agencies actually got more money than they did last year to spend. And I suspect when we see whatever happens with the remainder of FY12 appropriations, that'll be the case in some place as well. If you're a contractor, it's your job to go find where those opportunities are, because if you don't, your competitors will.
did you see the news item the other day where one congresswoman was going to protect the BRAC closing base?
No, I did not.
Does this surprise you at all?
No, actually, at this day and age, it does surprise me a little bit, because BRAC is nothing new, and we've had, you know, dozens and dozens of military bases closed down and oftentimes transitioned into new functions that bring the communities tremendous stability, in some cases even better economic prosperity than they had when the base had been there. Nevertheless, I guess there are some people who can't bring themselves to part with the military base.
Bingo. Larry, always a pleasure. Safe trip in January. And, you know, we'll pick up when you get back. We'll see what's going on and, you know, check out those Iowa results, et cetera. You've been listening to AmTower. Thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is not my day job. If you need help getting your company on the radar, you want more PR, you want to leverage social media, give me a shout. You can find me on LinkedIn or at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off center with AmTower.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.